We're back to the Neil Haley Show, and I'm excited about the Freedom from Addiction segment, and I'm excited to welcome to the program Reverend Wynn Henderson. Wynn, how are you? We are all learning to just live online and live in our houses, and I think that each and every week it's becoming like Groundhog Day, the same thing every day. But how are you, Wynn?
Well, assuming that I'm playing the groundhog, I'm doing pretty good. I would like to be out in the community doing what I used to do, but I understand that it's much more important to blunt the curve of this disease by not getting out. So that's what I do, and I hope everybody else will do the same.
All right, Wynn, so tell us about the topic, but I know you want to tell your audience, first of all, where the information about your show.
Well, it's a pleasure to have my audience listening today, Neil. It's my sincerest desire for them to get something from it that will make their life safer in this time of the coronavirus pandemic. As an ordained Christian minister and a retired medical doctor, I have a dual perspective to bring you the content to solve problems in your life. Freedom from Addiction and Share Your Mission is the longest running, single hosted, and produced radio internet talk show in the country. It has been continuously running for the last 20 years. I introduce you to celebrities and non-celebrities alike who have something to say about the disease of addiction and any of its 30 plus different forms, and about the importance of finding your mission in life and then acting on it. So today we're going to kind of clean up some of the misunderstandings that have been going on. And, you know, if you watch television, you know, one day they say one thing, 2 days later they say another. So
exactly.
Let's talk about some of those things.
And that's a great point you make, when it's just really a frustration on my end that you have the President of the United States saying one thing, then Bill Gates saying another, and then Dr. Fauci saying another, and then someone else that represents another political party saying another, or a governor saying, what are we to do in this, just all this information that is not all consistent at all for our health? It's okay politically, but for our health, we need to know what's the best thing to do.
Yeah. And I just got an email that told me that 562 New Yorkers died last night.
Oh, no.
Last night. You know, that is really serious.
Oh,
You don't have that many people dying when you're at war.
No, most definitely. I mean, that's crazy. It's, oh my gosh. Okay. Well, I know that you have a bunch of different things to talk about, specifically enough about things that we need to do so that we make sure that we don't contract the coronavirus. And some of them I'm really being very naughty on, in the fact of naughty in the word of not following the guidelines to stay healthy because of the uncertainty and the stress that's happening. But let's hear these steps, and hopefully our listeners will know we're going to have to batten down the hatches till May or maybe June, and we have to start living a different lifestyle till then.
Well, let's talk about inflammation. Inflammation is a process the body uses to deal with infection or injury, in this case, the coronavirus. The major problem with decreasing your inflammation is that it inhibits the body from effectively dealing with and killing infections. The coronavirus is the one that we're most interested, but it could be any number of bacterial or other types of infection. Decreasing inflammation by use of non-steroidal anti-inflammatory drugs lowers our defense response. It's often chronic inflammation and not the viruses themselves that cause much of long-term damage. Obesity, unregulated stress, tobacco use, alcohol use, lack of physical activity, poor sleep, and poor diet are all linked to chronic inflammation. And the four major ways of treating this is what you eat, how long and restful your sleep is, getting out of stress and releasing that in exercise. So this is what is underlying this, and we don't have a vaccine yet, and we don't have any approved types of medication that can knock this thing out. So what we can do is we can decrease the pain and fever. But then there was this big thing from the French foreign minister who made a report that came out against using the non-steroidal anti-inflammatory drugs like ibuprofen.
Yeah, I remember, you talking about that study last week on the program.
Mm-hmm. And why is ibuprofen singled out? It's singled out because more people use it than any other non-steroidal anti-inflammatory agent. But there is evidence that there is no evidence. In other words, no good scientific study basis to say that the non-steroidal anti-inflammatory agents make the death rate go up, make the disease worse, these kind of things. But out of trying to be very cautious, I said last week that I recommend not using ibuprofen, even though there's no evidence that backs that up, because there's another drug that's not a non-steroidal anti-inflammatory drug, paracetamol, commonly sold under the brand name Tylenol, or generically acetaminophen, that should be used instead for fever and pain release. But just know that if you're on ibuprofen for another condition,
right,
I don't think that you should stop taking it. That's my personal opinion, and maybe in a day or two, somebody else will come out with another opinion. It seems like it's always that's what's happening.
I mean, it's so true, and you hit the nail on the head in so many ways of the news that comes out, like talking about inflammation and things like that. But sleep, now you talked a little bit about sleep, but do you have more to add regarding how important sleep is to not contract the virus?
Well, it's only to not contract the virus, but to get over many or any disease. Your body has to have time to rest, recuperate, and that means a good 8 hours sleep a night. Most people don't get that. And a good night's sleep is literally what makes the difference between a life well lived and an existence where you just drag yourself through life. It can also make the difference between life and death during the coronavirus pandemic. Here are some ideas to help get better sleep. First, avoid sugar and carbs, especially in the evening. Then, regulate your sleeping hours and get on a schedule. Next, avoid screens and their blue light at least 90 minutes before going to bed. Next, exercise regularly. Then, avoid caffeinated coffee or tea. And reduce or eliminate the use of alcohol. It blocks your REM sleep. It may let you go to sleep the first time for a little while, but the long-term effect is bad. Next, take sleep supplements. The one that I know most people are talking about and using, although there are many, is melatonin. It's an herb that puts you to sleep in your first sleep cycle, but then it doesn't last all night. And you should talk to your doctor about that. The next point is meditation or bedtation. Well, you all know what meditation is, and you're alert and active. Meditation is what you do when you're in bed, sleeping or going between sleep and being alert. And one of the types of meditation is the muscle relaxation technique. And in this technique, you start contracting and holding various different muscles. You start at your toes, contract them, hold them for a while, and then your foot, your ankle, your lower leg, your knee, your upper leg, your lower abdomen, and those muscles in your stomach area. And you keep going up and contracting and relaxing your hands and your arms and your neck and your face. And then at the end of that cycle, if you're not really relaxed, and most people would be, do it over again. But this is a technique that will relax you to the point that you should be ready to sleep. Now, also, there are sleep tracking apps that you can get, or you can keep a sleep log, a written log of what's going on. You could read something calming or even slightly boring, and then maybe 30 minutes max, and then try to go back to sleep. You could use good earplugs. Silicone earplugs are great, and it keeps out those distracting noises that wake you up or keep you from going to sleep. The last point would be to open or close the window. It depends on what your temperature is in the room and in your body underneath the covers, whether you need to be warmer or cooler. A lot of people say that it's easier to sleep when you're cooler. And if you get noise coming in from the outside, then those earplugs come in handy. I was studying this this morning, and the book was The Extremely Busy Woman's Guide to Self-Care. But it could also be used for people that are lazy, or it could be used for men. And you can hear me talk about that program on a soon upcoming podcast or on YouTube.
You know, it's very interesting when you talk about these things, and, you know, and I listen to you about the sleep, and it's just something that's so hard with time, but we do have more time on our hands, and it's, we got to make it a point to sleep more. And however, we have to evaluate why we're staying up too late. What are we doing to not get that sleep? So it's great tips. Another topic you want to talk about is the use of masks universally. And
this has been in the news almost every day. The CDC and the World Health Organization, as of yesterday, had not come up with a final determination on whether they're going to recommend that or not. But I read the news stories from the Asian population. They practically went to universal mask on everybody early on, and they were able to blunt the disease process. I think personally that we ought to be doing that also. And you can use high grade mask, but if you do that, you may be taking it away from a medical personnel that needs it more than you do. So there are other kinds of masks, and if you have some lying around from before this happened, use those. And if you don't, you could perhaps make a mask out of fabric, and you can go to YouTube and put in do-it-yourself fabric mask and get a way of doing that. But even if you can't do that, you could grab a scarf and wrap it around your face. And I know that you might be self-conscious, but it's better to be self-conscious than it is to be dead. Wouldn't you agree?
Oh, absolutely. It's definitely a great point.
And so they might debate whether masks keep you from getting it or keep it from going out from a person who already has it. But whatever the thing is, it's cheap, it's inconvenient, but it's going to save a lot of lives. So I personally would recommend when you go outside, have a mask on.
All right, let's go to the next topic with these throat lozenges, which are very difficult to find.
Well, they're almost impossible to find. 3 weeks ago, I went out looking for zinc lozenges to a drugstore, and he said, well, we've got some. They're over there against that wall. I went over there, looked and looked and looked and couldn't find any. So I grabbed a girl that was working the cash register. Can you find some zinc lozenges for me? And she got down on her knees, and way in the back, where you couldn't see them, there were 3 packages. Well, that was about the last time that I saw them. I've gone to drugstores, I've gone to grocery stores, I've gone to Walmart, and I couldn't find them, but maybe you can. And this would be important if you can get yourself some zinc lozenges. And if you can't find them in town, how about going to eBay and buying some from one of their sellers and put a rush on it? And this may be the way to go. But zinc has the ability to inhibit the virus from getting into your body. And you know, the virus comes in through your mouth and your nose. And so what I would recommend is anytime that you go out in public or you're going to be around a bunch of people, suck on one of those zinc lozenges and coat the back of your throat so that if you get exposed to the virus, perhaps it won't get in. And then if you start having symptoms that might be the virus, you got a fever, you got muscle aches and pains, you got a cough, shortness of breath, any of those kind of things, take a zinc lozenges 3 or 4 times a day, and that will help rid your body of something that got into it. And that would be my recommendation for zinc. And like I said, hard to find, but if you can find it, it might make a big difference.
All right, Wynn, last topic for today.
Well, I was just trying to think whatever I might want to talk about.
You talked the alkaline diet you wanted to talk about.
A diet? Oh, okay. There's something about eating an alkaline diet. And because of the pH of the coronavirus, somewhere around 8.5, and you're eating foods that are higher than that, and you are having alkalinity in your body, perhaps it will kill the virus or keep it from doing as much damage as it would otherwise. And eating an alkaline diet is really good for taking care of chronic medical problems. Things like cancer, arthritis, many, many conditions respond better if you're eating an alkaline diet. And I don't have time today to tell you all the foods that you need to eat, but they're mostly in the fruits and vegetable line. And you can Google alkaline diet and get more information, or else we may put up a podcast about that later.
And address some of the things you talked about in further detail. Best place again to tell us information on you and where we can find info on you. Where can we go in?
Well, my podcast is www.freedomfromaddiction.libsyn.com. And you spell Libsyn, L-I-B-S-Y-N. This is my distributor, and it will take you directly to the most recent podcast. Then you can scroll down through scores and scores and scores of podcasts. You find something that you liked, you want to know something about, watch it. But the most recent will be first. And you can also get more information if you go over to my website, which is www.revwynhendersonmd.com.
Well, I appreciate you calling. Great topic, and thanks for calling.
Okay, Neil, you have a great day.
All right, that was the Freedom from Addiction segment, everyone. Take care.